Welcome back to the 5x5, and it is the late night show, and I'm your host, David. Thank you guys. If you're joining me live or whenever, wherever, however you guys are listening to the show, I do appreciate when you guys roll through and listen, even though, you know, sometimes I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If you listen to the drive show, you know, it's whenever I'm driving. Most of the time is when I'm driving home from work, and I have a time to just kind of get out all my frustration from the day or talk about something that's kind of been on my mind and I have something interesting to say. But sometimes I'm just babbling like I normally do here on the late night show. But you know, on the late night show we play some music as well, just to keep the things a little bit groovy, because you know I am an R&B boy and I love my music. I'd like to welcome to, I think, one of the very first times he has listened to me live. I don't think he's listened to me live before. He's always been a supporter of the show. Good friend of mine, Dwayne Hadley from the Dwayne Hadley Radio Network. Check out Dwayne here on Spreaker.com and also on iHeartRadio. He's in the chat room chatting it up. I think he's working tonight, so he's listening to me while he's on break. I do appreciate it. Another thing about Dwayne, I have pulled another person into the comic book nerd zone, so to speak. I'm a self-proclaimed nerd. Oftentimes I say blurred, and I think he said on his show tonight, he said he was a word. White nerd, blurred is black nerd. Ba-dum-bum. And I hope I've described it. It's comic book fans who are strictly into comic books. I'm the more mainstream variety. It's just more the big ones. You know, I do have some offshoots of different companies. You know, correspond from Image, which really is a little bit more mainstream. There's things changed in the book, and I scored. And I didn't talk about it Sunday night. I scored a ton of old issues of Spawn from a flea market ish like store this past weekend. Oh no, it was last week. Last Wednesday. Or yeah, had to be last Wednesday. Yeah, it was last Wednesday. And but tomorrow is new comic book day. I don't think I have anything I'm picking up, but my nephew, since he's on spring break, he is going to hang out with me tomorrow. We're gonna go get some Hero Clicks and some comic books, maybe. The things that I haven't really picked up that I've been looking at. Sometimes I take a while. It's something I want to start new. Although I've definitely been selling things on eBay. Dwayne said, "Let's see." He says, "It's his first time. Thanks for the promo." He says he has much to learn, and he called me the nerd Jedi Master. There's more. I'm more like a Padawan. there's some definite Yodas out there. There's a show I do listen to called the V-Cast, where they and I wish I had more people to talk about with comic books on. So I've been talking about, even though this is not a Fanboy Weekly show, I've been talking about starting a online, and as a part of my Fanboy Weekly show, online podcast, comic book club. That's a mouthful, right? So I think the first book I want to do, because it's coming out, they're heavily promoting it, and I'm not a big Hulk fan, but they're reintroducing the Hulk. Marvel has went through and they've kind of revamped a lot of their characters, a lot of the mythology behind the characters, and they have started with a lot of number ones. Miss Marvel is now a Arab Indian person, although Captain Marvel, the original Ms. Marvel, is now called Captain Marvel, and she has her own book, which is number one. I have that. Wolverine the X-Men, that's the number one. I have it. I don't know if I want to continue that story. I do have a number two. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number one. I started that, and that's Buffy has moved to Dark Horse, and I talked about some of that on Fanboy Weekly on Sunday night. And so Hulk is going to have a number one in April, which is only a few, a couple weeks away. And so I think that's going to be the first book. So if you're interested on being a part of the club, the online comic book club, shoot me an email at the address 5, the number 5, BYYFIVE@gmail.com, and let me know your interest, and I'll kind of set it up from there. But if you're going to be reading the story anyhow, and you have some comments, send me an email and I'll read them on the air when we're having a Fanboy Weekly show. Anyhow, I hope you guys are doing good. I'm doing great. I have been sick for a not really sick. I had a horrible headache when I woke up this morning, and it really didn't go away until like 2, 3, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And it's, some of you get those headaches where it's just ugh. And here recently I've been getting more headaches than I normally get. I'm pretty healthy, even though I'm a little overweight a lot. And I've been getting these headaches, and I know it's blood pressure. It's blood pressure related, I'm sure, but it's just one of those things. I'm like, okay, and you don't want to go to the doctor because you might think it's one thing, then it might be 100 different other things. And I'm not one that want, I don't want to be on medicine. I don't want to take a whole lot of medicine. That's just not me. I just because I like my father. He has a crazy, great. Oh, it's definitely work related stress. Dwayne mentioned that. It's I don't know. My dad has a crazy immune system that he's it, as long as I've been alive, I've never really seen my dad get sick. He did have a stroke when I was in high school, but that's the only thing that I've ever seen my dad go through, and even that was very short lived. He was back up in less than like 2 or 3 weeks after he had it, and my dad's a very strong individual, and but just like him, I don't get sick. But when I do get sick, I go down for the count. So I've been dealing with these headaches here recently. I didn't. I this It's been like a week since I've had a bad headache, and but I'm feeling much better now, thankfully, knock on wood. But and it wasn't to the bedside where I couldn't lift my head up. It was just annoying. It was around my eyes, and it could be sinuses. This time of year, there's some things that are starting to bloom. Although it snowed last night, everybody. Here it is. We are 3, 4 days into spring, and it's still snowing, and we're still having freezing temperatures. When I left work last night, I had snow on top of my car, well, ice on top of my car, and I'm like, ugh, will it ever end? And like the kids are on spring break this week, and I can't remember as long as I've been in this area, during the spring break, even when I was in school, it's never been warm. So I would like push the spring break like into April, but I guess they can't do that because school's out at the end of May. But this year they're going to go a couple of extra weeks, I think, because we've had so many snow days this school season. But thank God I don't have to worry about that anymore. But it's just, I'm just tired of the weather, and everybody's getting a little cabin fever. So when we get a really warm day, everybody's out. You see everybody, and everybody's out in the street, and which is cool because I like to socialize, and I like eating on patios. I don't like being cooped up in a restaurant. When I lived in Atlanta, I spent a lot of time on restaurant patios, having a cocktail with my friends, and seeing all the sights. And I actually I miss that. There's not a lot of places here in this area to do that because the scenery is kind of drab and humdrum and not that interesting. But it is what it is. It is what it is. I was like, so what am I going to talk about tonight? There's some things that I seen online that interest me. I thought that was kind of funny. That I was going to talk about last week. I didn't have the opportunity. And then I seen an article today about what really goes on in locker rooms. It's that whole the whole sizing up. There is a another article that I read that's kind of making a splash on Instagram and the various photo websites. There's the UK campaign to for testicular cancer awareness. That's interesting that's going on. So we have a few things to talk about. And then also, do you just hate when people think that their car is so fabulous that they can take up multiple parking spaces? I've been to, the store or to the mall or whatever, and somebody thinks their car is absolutely so fabulous that they have to take up, two parking spaces because they don't want to get a hit. I think that's the most narcissistic thing in the whole world. I don't like my car beat up, but I'm a realist. It can happen when you're out there by yourself. When you see a cart go flying across a parking lot and crash into somebody's vehicle. I just think people need to be more mindful of that. So there was a really, really funny article about that. So that's what we're gonna the things we're gonna talk about today, and then we'll find something else to talk about as well. So thank you guys for listening. We're gonna take a really, really quick break, play your song, and then we'll be right back and we'll start talking about our topics. Thank you guys for listening. I'm David from the 555 555 from the 5x5, and this is the Late Night Show.
everyone. This is Dwayne Hadley from the Dwayne Hadley Show. Check out the 5x5 on Springer.com.
And we're back. Thank you guys for joining us at the 5x5, and it's the Late Night Show, and I am David, and we're just sitting here just rapping. Not really rapping. I'm not a really good rapper. I've tried to rap for my niece and my nephew, and they always tell me that I fail miserably at it, but it's okay. I don't care, because when they start talking about me when I'm singing, like my niece and my nephew, because I always mess up words to songs. Like, we'll be in the car and I'll be singing a song, and unless it's a Beyonce song, I got all those words down, right? And when I'm singing in the car, they're in the car with me and I'm singing, I mess up a lot of words to songs. I don't care. And so when they start poking fun at me about Uncle David doesn't know the words to the song and they think it's really, really funny, I then turn the song and I start putting their names in the songs, and it's not too flattering. And then all of a sudden everybody gets silent. That's how you shut a kid down when they're making fun of you. Just start singing a song with their name in it, talking about them, and it shuts them down. No, I love my niece and nephew, and we have a lot of fun with that. Another thing that my niece and I have done ever since she was a kid, you know, and I'm just a big old kid myself, and I love having fun, and my thing is, you know how kids are sometimes, although I'm not their father or whatever, you know how kids don't like to be embarrassed, but I was trying to instill in my niece and my nephew both, you can't worry about what the world thinks of you, because there's always going to be somebody who talks about you. There's always going to be someone that has issue with what you do or what you say or how you look or how you act. I said, once you get rid of that, you can be, and although I have my own self-esteem issues, but I really don't care. When it comes down to it, brass tacks, I don't really care what anybody thinks about me, because talk is cheap. You know, you can talk as much as you want, just don't put your hands on me. And so I tell them, and my nephew, we'll be in the store, and like, you know how they play the little music, and if there's a song comes on, I'm like, I'm ready to dance. And my nephew like, please, please, Uncle David, don't. I'm like, why? He said, there's people here. I'm like, I don't care, you know, because I don't. You know, you have to live your life, because tomorrow is definitely not promised to none of us, because you can be here today and gone today. And the way the world is now, you know, we don't know when World War III is going to start. You know, the way things are going, and live for now. You know, be in the moment, relish the good times and the laughter. And that's one thing. When I leave this planet, I want to be known for, he always liked to have fun. He was always laughing. He always had a smile on his face, but he'd catch you if you made him mad. No, so I'd like to bring the fun in, and that's why I try to instill in my niece and my nephew. And like my niece and I, she I've trained her well. You know, she thinks a lot like her Uncle David, and she doesn't care what people think. You know, she had a job, and a young lady, I guess, came to her and told her that her shirt was too short, and she didn't look good in that color. And my niece was like, okay, anything else? You know, and so it just shut her down, because I guess people want you to react to the craziest. And that's why I tell people, when they talk, oh, you're fat, or you're black, or okay, that's easy. You know, let's talk about something that's really going to hurt me, because I've been black and fat, you know, a lot longer than it took for you to come up with that diss. So don't worry about people, because like I said, people are always going to hate and always going to have something to say. My friend Ken Bogle and I had a show on Blog Talk Radio last night. We were talking about how within your own community, how there's haters and people, there's always somebody that can put you down, and instead of lifting you up. And it was happening at the article was about Jason Dolley. Well, no, really, it really wasn't about Jason Dolley. It was about Jason Dolley, is friend of the show. Remember the crew show that we had earlier this year? We interviewed Jason and talked to him. Really, really nice, sweet guy. He was an actor that was in the series of Sordid Lives, and he also has new music out, the Love Story Project. So, you know, he's out. He's an openly out actor. And so somebody, Bixby from the Daily Beast, was reporting on the Hookies, which the Hookies is the Rent Boy Awards for the best male escort. You know, as sordid as that is, you know, I'm sure it was a light event. And the whole article was kind of tainted with a lot of hate. And then I guess Jason was presenting that night. And then I guess they had some words or whatever. And he was like, well, who is this guy anyway? Just kind of trying to slight him like he was nobody. You know, I was like, but my thing is why? And they just made fun of it. And they had this battle on Twitter. And then a lot of Jason's followers and friends supported him on Twitter, self included. And then Ken and I had a talk about it last night, for me, it spoke to a bigger picture of why do we think it's okay within the community to, you know, when you have the community as a whole, you know, society only looks at a piece of that. And so, and then, but why give them, and I say this for black people too, why give society even more, you know, stuff to use against you, you know, and I know people say, oh, you're wrong for that. You shouldn't say that. I'm trying to think of a way to say it eloquently without sound like an asshole. But oftentimes I do, and I don't care. Like, for instance, say you're an online dater and you're on these websites, you know, there's Growler, Scruff, and Grindr. And for some reason, you see somebody's picture on there that you're interested in and you say hello. Well, that person sizes you up by the picture, whether you're overweight or you have a funny smile or you got cross eyes. And, you know, but which that's nothing wrong. If you don't like that, you just don't like it. The problem is, if somebody's just being nice to you and you think you're so special, I guess, and you block that person or you tell that person, you're ugly, don't hit on me. You know, because for us, it wants so much the whole heteronormative rights. You know, why there's so much inside hate, you know, of the differences within our community. And that's the same thing when I say for black people, you know, oh, I don't want the white man to treat me bad. We need to be treated right. This is racism. Okay, that's fine. And it's true and it's valid. But I think sometimes you have to work on yourself. I put something on Facebook today, and it's funny that only a few people agreed with me. And I had to find what it is because I think it's... I thought it was important because there's things that I see in my own community that pisses me off, because then the first thing we as a community, I say we, I'm just going to say in they, I'm saying we get mad when society uses that stereotype, the same thing that we participate in, when they use it against us, we want to have a problem with it. And I have issue with that. So what did I say? Let's see, you know, I'll be on Facebook. Okay, I put, black people really need to wake up. And before anybody says anything crazy, I love being black. I wouldn't change nothing in the world. I love being black. I love who I am. I love what my blackness stands for, my ethnicity. I'd love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Although I wouldn't mind being Latino. The Latinos are hot. Anyhow, that's me being funny. Anyhow, so I said, black people really need to wake the hell up. We are our own worst enemy. We condone illicit drug use. And why I say we condone it, and I would say everybody, but there's a good percentage of people that I know that either smoke weed, and this is for white people too, because they smoke weed too. They smoke weed and they think that's cute, or they might have a brother that sells weed, or they know the weed man. And we condone it. We think, well, you know, we shouldn't have to, it's against the law. Okay, until it's legalized in your state, it's still illegal. So, you know, we do that. And I have friends, and I can say that because I have friends, black friends, that think I'm wrong for thinking that way, but it's illegal. You know, I don't care how you look at it, it's still illegal. Anyhow, and then I said, we expect to get top dollar for lackluster performance. I can say that because where I work, the site is majority black, and my black coworkers happen to get mad when they don't get the same raise or the same promotions that some of the white people get. You know, and then they get mad at me for doing a good job because I'm making them look bad. No, I'm getting paid to do a job, and maybe I want to progress at my particular job. Don't get mad and don't hate and don't say it's racism, because that's not what it is, because I see both sides, you know. And then I said, we think it's funny to keep a good percentage of our mothers on welfare and public assistance. I don't know what they do in the white community because I don't live in the white community. When I lived in Atlanta, I lived in a black community. This is what I see. And when I see, when I go to the grocery store and I see a young female with four or five children on public assistance, I know it's hard. And she's doing what she has to do, you know, but they let these men, you know, who's supposed to be taking care of the family and be stand up, they let them get off scot-free because these men think they can go out there and make as many babies that they want. And this is a personal to me because it's happened in my family. They think they can make as many babies as they want, and it's okay. It's not okay. And then, well, the government will take care of it. You know, get a job. And then I also said, we allow a certain percentage of our young boys run around with their ass hanging out. Now, I've seen white dudes with the pants down, but like I said, I live in a black community, so I can only speak to what I speak to from what I see. And if my thing is, that's not cute. If I had a child and a son, if I seen you walking, because somebody has to buy the clothes, you know, you see when they leave. And if somebody, because I remember one time when I was young, and this is when, you know, the whole thing, it takes a village. When I was young, I was up the street and I got into a little fight. So, you know, when you're around, away from your parents, you think you can act like you're grown. You think you can say what you want to say. And then I thought this as well, you know, I was a kid, and so I was cussing, using those words that you use when your parents aren't listening. And so unbeknownst to me, one of my mother's friends, I didn't really realize where I was, she was standing in her backyard and she heard everything I said. So by the time I got that's probably maybe five blocks, six, maybe seven blocks to my house, I see her car parked in front of my mother's house. And I seen my mother outside talking to her. And I knew what had happened. And my mom was like, don't you dare ever go out of this house and disrespect me. Because the way you act in this street is a representation of how you were raised. And we didn't raise you to act crazy. Which is totally true. And so, of course, I got my butt tore up. And I never did it again. At least I never did it again where I knew. I didn't know what the surroundings were, but you know, that just, you know, because it does reflect on how you are raised and what's going on in the house. So many times, but then, you know, you think it's an extension of, you know, single parent households, poverty, you know, latchkey children, because my sister and I were latchkey children when we were growing up, but we had, my mother and my father were both in the house, but they both worked. So we would have to be part of the statistic. And my sister would beat me up in the house, you know, until my parents came home. But we were latchkey children, and we knew if you leave this house, you know, you would never get to leave this house again until you're 21 years old. You know, so my parents were very, very strict. And I say this all the time because I thank the Lord for every whooping, every scream, every punishment. I get more whoopings than I got punishments. That I ever received, because I live in a community where I could have gotten to my friends, you know, in jail, and I, you know, it could have happened, but not on my mom and dad's watch. They wasn't having it. And I just don't understand what's wrong with these parents today, that they don't reel some of these children in and can stop so much of these drugs. And, you know, sometimes there's a bad seed, there's a bad seed. But I think if you had more control of your children and make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do in school, you know, it'd change their trajectory in life. And I just don't understand it. But that's why I can speak to these things, because I've witnessed it. And yes, we are oppressed. Yeah, yes, there's still racism. I'm not that naive that I don't think it goes on, because it does. And but why give the oppressors help? You know, why name your child Champagne and Lacanisha? You don't want them to get a job, because they're going to be judged as soon as they fill out the resume. So just things to think about. Those are my opinions. Say what you will about them, they're mine. So anyhow, I meant to talk about something else. Dwayne, thanks for joining the show tonight. Dwayne had to go back to work, and he asked me, did I have any WWE news? Well, I will have to give props out to Hot Topic. Hot Topic had, you know, the little store. I went to HotTopic.com, and they, if you bought WWE merchandise, you get a free special edition WWE comic book. Now, the WWE comic book is not something that I collect, but it's something that I wanted. I'm like, well, I can buy something, you know, because they have, you know, clearance stuff. It was any purchase you got this comic book. I'm like, well, I'll buy something for $4 or $5 and I'll get the free comic book. But I'm like, well, let me go out to the store so I don't have to pay the shipping. I'll run out to the store and I'll grab something from WWE and I'll get the free comic book. Went out to the store, they didn't have it. And so when I come back home to purchase it online, the offer was gone. It was like, up there for a second, it was gone. And so today, I emailed the customer service, and the nice people and management team from the corporate Hot Topic, they was really nice, because I asked them about the HeroClix. They had HeroClix for 74 cents. If you guys know, HeroClix, a little game, they can be anywhere from, I think they sold them for $3.50, but they was on clearance for 74 cents. HeroClix range anywhere from $2.50 up to $4. And if you get a special one that you're buying on eBay, they can be $11, $12. So 74 cents, and then it was buy two, get one free. You know, that was like 66 cents a piece. And so, but they was out of those, supposedly. So that's what I was really initially writing them about. It's like, are you guys going to sell HeroClix? I wanted to buy some more. Do you have them? And also, I said, the WWE comic book, I went and I told them the whole story. They wrote me back and said, well, unfortunately, we're not going to sell the HeroClix anymore at this time. Throughout the year, we'll have some more offerings. But we have a comic book. If you want it, give me your address. We'll send you one. I'm like, what? No shipping, free of charge. And he said he'd do it this week. So to Jeremy at Hot Topics, thank you. I do appreciate that. That was a really nice gesture. And customer service goes a long way. So for all my fam, because they have a lot of pop culture stuff, you know, I will go to Hot Topic first and then everywhere else second, because I think that's that was really, 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 really cool. I want to see a 5x5 HeroClix. It's HeroClix, like this. HeroClix. But, no, I don't want to see a 5x5 HeroClix. It takes too much plastic to make one. But, no, so WWE, this is for Dwayne. WWE, I'm tired of the party tricks. I'm tired of it. I don't know if you guys watch WWE, but I actually watch it on Friday. Was it Monday Night Raw on Friday Night SmackDown? It was Monday Night Raw yesterday. What was really interesting, that AJ Lee, I think during Dwayne says he's a newbie nerd. During WrestleMania, AJ Lee is going to have to fight off like 15 divas for the Divas Championship, which I'm tired of her being the diva. That's an old story, done with it. Well, tonight Christian and B. Langston was supposed to fight for the international title, but for some reason that didn't happen. That was going to be on their WWE network. It didn't happen, didn't go down, so I don't know what that was about. But then the whole thing with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, I'm over it. It's the party tricks with the casket. My thing is, when they brought it out, I'm like, well, I called it when I was watching. I'm like, he's not going to be in there first. He's going to close it, and then he's going to be in it. I'm like, how many $2 magicians have done that? I think they're running out of storylines. They need to interject. And once the whole Guardians of the Galaxy movie, once the Guardians of the Galaxy movie happens in August, we won't see Batista anymore. We won't see him. They did the same thing when The Rock had, what did he have coming out? What movie was that earlier this, the latter part of last year or sometime last summer? And he got the title back for a second. They're doing the same thing with Batista. You know, he has this movie coming out, called Guardians of the Galaxy, which is going to be a fanboy special because I'm going to see it. But, you know, once that movie's, you know, had its run, we won't see him anymore. You know, so I'm tired of all that extra stuff, you know, and if I didn't have to watch Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, I wouldn't be watching it. But I have to because I'm at work and that's what the people I'm with are watching. So, but I don't know. I do like watching the Funkadaxel though, because I like the music. Because what happened to Brodus Clay? You know, because they were all Brodus Clay, and then they had the new guy, and R-Truth was with the Funkadactyls, and that kind of went to the wayside. I'm like, whatever. Will y'all please get it together? And what happened to Naomi's eye? She has something on her eye, and AJ Lee was making fun of it. But anyhow, enough of the WWE. Let's see. See, I went way too long, and I have stuff I want to talk about tonight. And I'm going. I want to. When I'm gonna download this and re-edit this into two shows, because I'm talking about too much extra stuff. Oh, Dwayne said Brodus Clay is injured. Well, I'm tired of everybody out there now, and the whole it's getting tired. I think they really ran out of things to talk about. Only thing is, I want them to make a story where Roman Reigns leaves the Shield, and there's a big scandal behind that. I think that's the next big story. Roman Reigns. I think he'll be a good contender for the world heavyweight champion because I think he's that good, and he makes what do they call the Shield what they are. But you know, and no, you're not a distraction, Dwayne. You're totally fine. Don't sweat it. But we are going to play a song, and when we come back, I will talk about the topic for the day: locker rooms and car notes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Switch it. You guys know I play that song all the time. I love that song. And I don't know why this particular artist hasn't blown up. Her name is Tinashe. That's called Stunt. That song is kind of the jump off. I like my favorite line in the song. That was line. I said long because line and song. Sometimes I think my brain works faster. Well, matter of fact, I know it does. Works faster than I can put out the words. And that's why I used to tell myself, okay, stop, speak slowly, David, because you know your words are going to get caught up in your mouth because you're thinking too fast. I'm always thinking ahead about what I have to say. So I'm going to try to practice my old self-taught speech therapy so I could talk more clearly. Although last night when I had a show on Blog Talk Radio, Ken Bogle and I, somebody did call in, although I don't know if they were being serious. They said I had a really, really sexy, smooth voice. You guys think that's true? I hate my recorded voice. A lot of times I don't listen to my shows unless I'm editing something because I don't like my voice. Another radio host said that on this, on Spreaker, said that I had a really good voice. And people have asked me before, like when I lived in Atlanta, when I talked to people, they were like, have you been on radio before? I'm like, no. I never thought about it. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. Welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show, and I am David. And we're just kind of chit-chatting, and I've been kind of babbling for about 45 minutes now. I really haven't talked about what I've titled this podcast as. So here we go. I am, I read an article on the Gay Star News, so you know it's going to be gay. And have you ever been working out and you went to the gym and you always, not that you always think, people, men, and it's mostly straight men, and this is the whole thing about what gays in the military, and then the whole recent thing about having openly gay players in professional sports because they don't want anybody looking at them in the locker room. And I said this before, straight men, not every gay man is checking for you like that. You know, I don't care how much you may want them to be, because on some level, it is flattery. You are prurient for that much, and for that matter, and everybody ain't checking for you. So calm that on down, because if it's professional sports, then that person is professional. They've been in a locker room for a long time, you know. And if you read this article, and it says straight men are more likely than gays to compete on penis size. Gay men are more self-conscious than straight men in the locker room, with participants in the study saying they are less likely to change in front of straight guys as it's unfair on them. And I'll read part of the article to you guys. Straight men are apparently more likely than gays to compete on penis size in the locker room, according to a new study. Dr. Christopher Morris Roberts, a senior lecturer at the University of Brighton, has said penis size matters a lot to athletes in the locker room. In the research for his PhD, Dr. Morris interviewed 8 London athletes who played a variety of sports, including football, tennis, and rugby. Half of these men self-identified as gay and the other half as straight. After spending a year on his analysis, he found all men, irrelevant of sexuality and type of sport, were inclined to look at others' penises in the changing room. Gay men tended to feel more self-conscious than straight men, with one participant reporting he felt it was unfair to change in front of heterosexual athletes in case they felt uncomfortable. See, this is how we do it, right? And I used to be the same way. I'm like, I would, you know, even like in public restrooms, I normally don't use the urinal. It's because I don't want other men to feel less like a man. Just kidding, kind of. I use the stall. Anyhow, even though I detest public restrooms. Okay. Some straight athletes admitted to playing with themselves a bit to encourage a semi-erection in order to make their penises look bigger. I can see straight men being like this. Gay men, on the other hand, said this was something they would not do, as they felt they had to perform in a heteronormative manner to de-emphasize queer behavior. Dr. Morris Roberts argues that athletes that have large penises are more likely to be more dominant in the locker room and therefore be seen as more masculine. These men, it's all about the penis, right? Right? These men are idolized on a team, but not in a homosexual way. On Outsports, he writes, "In the thesis, I argue that a large penis is now an essential component of masculinity and should be considered a new tenet of masculine capital, taking into account the significance it has on social hierarchy in the sporting environment. I have called this cock supremacy." He concluded, "My work suggests that cock size does matter in sport, irrespective of the sexuality, sporting discipline, and age." I thought that was interesting because I told a classmate of mine, he says something, he's a straight guy, he says something, I'm like, you know what the great equalizer to all those mean jock bullies in high school is? I've seen you all naked. And you know, I wasn't impressed. And he thought that was kind of funny, but it's true. And but so obviously, you know, it's the straight guys, not that they're, you know, trying to be sexual in the locker room by, you know, trying to have the bigger penis. It's all about being the top dog. It's that whole alpha male thing going on, and they do it for that reason. That's what I got from that article. So I thought that was really, really interesting. It's funny as hell. So next time you're in a locker room and you see some guy posturing around with a big old penis, he's the top dog, and leave him alone. We'll be right back.
Pressure built up in ya, baby. Let me break you off. Let me be the great pretender, even though it's all my fault. There ain't no way I'll let you go. I feel like we've been here once before. Somehow it feels like we both know. For you, I still feel like there's hope. Hey, 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 hey.
You say you want my love, yeah. You say you want my trust, but you don't deserve either one.
Yes, I do.
You had it once before.
But you know how it goes. You know I love you more. And can't nobody do me like you, baby. I broke your heart, I'm sure, but I'm willing to ignore all the things that we've been through lately.
Remain the same, and even though you broke my heart, I forgave you every time. So baby, tell me why we keep going around in circles. 'Cause I'm quite tired, and I wanna get. You don't deserve either one.
Yes, I do.
You had it once before. You threw it on the floor, and then you pounded on it like a drum.
But you know how it goes. You know I love you more. And can't nobody do me like you, baby. I broke your heart, I'm sure, but I'm willing to ignore all the things that we've been through lately.
This is not another love song.
And we're back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show, and I'm your host, David. And I've gone on a couple different things tonight, really kind of aimlessly and kind of more, I don't know, rambling than I normally do. But that's okay. This might be an edit anyhow. I don't know. Thank you guys for joining me. What were we talking about before we went to break? About penis size in the locker room and the straight men are the culprits of licking and sizing other men up, not because of a sexual thing, of a alpha dog top male thing. Pity. So, a really funny article that I read earlier this week, it was called, "Here are the 25 angriest, harshest letters ever left on windshields." And number 13 is full array. So we'll start with these. The article says, walking back to your car, you only see something shoved under the windshield wiper can be a harrowing and awful experience. Dozens of questions may flit through your mind when you see it. Is it a ticket? Did someone hit me? Is it a flyer for some free General Tso's chicken? Even if the news were bad, I bet if you found one of any of these 25 notes left in your car, you just have to laugh. I love these people style. This came from ViralNova.com. Number one. It's a picture of a man, and it says, "Why you no park in designated space?" That's number one. Number two was a personal letter, and they said, "This person is a passive-aggressive champ. Dear person, I'm sorry I put a dent in your car. I didn't want to, but I did when I tried to park next to you. I'm not leaving my information because you chose to use two spaces and I just wanted to park in one. The scratches are because I used a towel. The scratches are because I used a towel that had sand on it to try to clean the dent paint off. Please look your car over for the dent and scratches, and each time you see the dent, remember not to park in two spaces. Sorry." That's funny. Number three, wise words from Sir T-Rex. "Dear sir or madam, I regret to inform you that your car's anti-theft system is experiencing some form of malfunction. It has been going off without such an attempt at a theft. I would like to think, as we have such advanced technology capabilities in this era, and that as a civilized person, you can endeavor to effectively mediate the situation at hand. Sincerely, Tyrannosaurus Rex." That's funny too. Number four, traffic cops value honesty. I guess this person has left his own note up under his window sheet. Says, "Sorry, don't ticket me. I have to go poo." That's hilarious. The next one, number five. "Thanks for stealing my spot. I really appreciate it. I am putting a curse I learned online on this vehicle so that you will always find a problem parking anywhere outside your home forever." Number six. "Dear Mr. Important, I understand you drive a flashy brand new Nissan Altima, huh? And you don't want the paint job to be scuffed and dinged up by the crappy Toyota Avalon parked next to you. But since you perfectly double parked, I had to park two blocks away and carry ice cream in the scorching heat. My ice cream melted and you ruined my day. I hope every time you eat ice cream it melts and you think of me for the rest of your important life. Have a lovely Saturday." Simple, number seven, simple but effective. Park less crappily. Number eight, grandma will teach you a lesson or two. "Dear Blue BMW, you look rich. You should buy yourself some parking lessons. You took two spots. What happens when my handicapped grandmother comes to visit and something on your steps?" I can't read that. It's kind of illegible. Number nine, this is for the fanboy in me. "Listen to Optimus Prime there, mister. Optimus Prime disapproves of this horribly executed parking job. Autobots roll out." That's hilarious. And it has a little picture of the Autobot symbol. Number 10. "Hi, my name is Jack. I accidentally hit your car and someone saw me, so I'm pretending to write down my details. Sorry, Jack." And let's see. number 11, checkmate. And if I'm kind of reading this, they're really hard. They're the actual pictures of these notes, so I can't really read them all that well. Dear officer, I have temp place because someone keeps stealing my sticker, I guess, from my plate. Not because I'm a drug dealer, but thanks for telling my little brother you suspect me of buying one. Also, my factory tents are legal, and all 7 tickets you've written me for them have been dismissed. Please find another vehicle to rest. P.S. If I were a drug dealer, I could afford a garage. Thank you, Corinne. 12. Who taught you how to park? Stevie Wonder. 13. Dear A-ho, thank you for taking up more spaces than your self-important personality really deserves. I hope you crash and learn your lesson, Bob. And this one, somebody took that, I guess, that stuff that you put in your cars when they say somebody graduated or had a baby or something. Learn to park, Helen Keller. That's probably my favorite. It's mean, but it's funny. Number 15. Dear Sarah Madam, you may have noticed that your vehicle seems to have found itself in 2 parking spaces. The truth is, it actually fits in 1. For the benefit of all humanity, please lower your parking space consumption. Hugs and kisses, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Another fanboy one. Number 16. Thanks for always parking across the path. It gives me the chance to be a movie star and slide across your hood now and then. Try it. It's awesome. Car can't move due to frozen doors. This is number 12. Number 17. Car can't move due to frozen doors. No ticket, please. And then there's a ticket laying on top of it. That's funny. Number 18. Good morning, Speed Racer. Thank you for performing such a vital community service. All of your neighbors greatly appreciate you. Your wake-up call every morning at 7:30. However, I should inform you that even revving your engine while it's cold will likely blow the hose gasket. Now that you are aware that this is potentially dangerous for your race career, we urge you to save your engine for the track. To your friend and neighbors. Number 19. This is a note that's written on a taped up busted window. I have nothing of value in my car, but thanks for checking anyway. You know, if you live in Atlanta, if you leave so much as a cigarette butt on the seat, they are breaking your windows downtown. They're breaking your windows and stealing it. I had a friend that he left his briefcase in his car. Lesson learned. And they broke into his car and took everything. So I learned not to keep anything in view in your car. Because unless you pay for parking, if you park on the street just trying to get to a club or something, you run the risk of somebody. So that's always, even though it just adds to your pay for parking and take cabs. Because if you leave something out, just if you forget, and it could be nothing, it could be a CD, they will bust your window and take it. So, you know, I was taught that in Atlanta. Not that I had to ever deal with that, but they don't do it here. I'm guessing if the opportunity presented itself, they would, but I've never heard of anybody doing that here. But just a word to a wise, if you live in a big city, some of you probably already know, don't leave stuff on your seat or in your car for people to see, because they will bust your window to take it. Number 20. By no fault of my own, I bumped your car. I feel I'm not responsible, as your parking job was mediocre at best. Call me to work out this damage. Call me to work this out. The damage is minimal from what I can see, but there is a scratch in my car I'm sure you will pay for. Tony. He left his number. Dear potential deviants, I'm aware that my car window is open. Please do not disturb the rest of the contents of my vehicle. I have taken all belongings of value with me except some reusable bags and a pack of baby wipes in my trunk. Thank you for your cooperation. It is greatly appreciated. P.S. If you feel it necessary to steal any baby wipes, please limit to 1 per deviant. Number 22. In this super packed parking lot, I applaud your ability to find not only 1 spot, but 4. You, sir, are envied by all douchebags. Oh, You, sir, are envied by all, douchebag. And this one's very hard to read. Number 23. You park like an a-hole. We live in society. Our society has benefits such as iPhones, supermarkets, and a lack of mountain lions attempting to eat you. If you want the benefits of society, follow the rules. Take an introspective look at your life and figure out why nobody likes you. 24. You are selfishly consuming two parking spaces. Hal Berkeley. Get on the set. Think next time. Don't be so self-centered. Space, as you should know, is hard to come by. May the fleas of 1,000 camels inside your armpits. And the last one is, please stop giving me tickets. I already had 3 this week. I'm obviously broke already. I have ordered my new sticker. It's in the mail. I can't make it get here any faster. Have some mercy. You are ruining my life. And that was the whole park. I think that's funny about the parking of the cars and stuff. Leaving notes, and I see people doing it all the time, but we don't really have a problem here with lack of parking spaces unless it's a, you know, an area. But everywhere I normally go, there's always, not always park out far, not that because I don't want my car to be dinged, but people just drive ridiculously. And I call it the getaway zone. My sister, on the other hand, she will drive the parking lot 5 minutes, so she'll find a parking place right by the door. I'm like, girl, don't have that much time. Walk. It's good for you. But I've always been like that. But the reason why, here's my thing, because I have a Monte Carlo, and people who ride with me, family included, I tell them, be mindful of my doors. Everybody has ever been in Monte Carlo, the doors open up very, very wide. They're very, very heavy, and they swing open. Now, it's my car, so I know how the door is. So there's no problem on my side. If I'm by myself, I will park up close if I can get in the parking space. But if I'm with somebody, I always park out far. Or if I found a parking space that's like in the front, there has to be either a handicap to the right, to the passenger side, or just the street. Because people, even though I've been telling them, I've had my car for, what, 5 years now? More than that. And 6 years. And they don't listen. I had to remind them, be mindful of my door. I remind my mother every time. And so now with her, he's like, we go to the store, I just drop her off at front of the store, because I know we're going to be in the parking lot and she's going to fling that door open. And my mother's a little woman. I'm like, how much space do you need to get out of the car? And we fight. Every time she's in my car and I'm taking her somewhere, and she said, this door is too heavy. This door is going to be the death of me, which I hope it's not, because I would be totally crushed not to have to sell my car. And she flings that door open like she's Batgirl running to stop a crime. But I'm like, girl, you don't need to do all that. You know, door goes flinging open. I'm like, my niece and my nephew have learned. But because one time she flung it open and it hit the car. It's like, I told you, it didn't do any damage. But I'm like, why don't you listen to me? You know, I've told you 1,000 times about it. Or wait till I get out and I can let you out of my car. Because I've done that before. I've been the first one out of the car. Then I run around the other side to open the door so people can get out of the car in the correct amount of space without flinging my door open like it's a DeLorean or something. Anyhow, thank you guys for listening tonight. I don't think I have much else to talk about. Check me out at the blog. At my blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com. Send me a tweet at the 5x5. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys are having a great week, and we'll see you next time. Good night.